The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, Chapter Number 8, Text Number 25, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Hatikari, recorded on May 16th, 2007, in Vilnius, Lithuania.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, Chapter Number 8, Prayers by Queen Kunti, Text Number 25. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vipada santuta shashvat. Tatra tatra jagadguru. Bhavata darshanam yatsyad. Apunar bhava darshanam. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedantati Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. I wish that all those calamities would happen again and again, so that we could see you again and again. For seeing you means that we will no longer see repeated births and deaths. Purport. Generally, the distressed, the needy, the intelligent and the inquisitive, who have performed some pious activities, worship or begin to worship the Lord. Others who are thriving on misdeeds only, regardless of status, cannot approach the Supreme due to being misled by the illusory energy. Therefore, for a pious person, if there is some calamity, there is no other alternative than to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Constantly remembering the lotus feet of the Lord means preparing for liberation from birth and death. Therefore, even though there are so-called calamities, they are welcome because they give us an opportunity to remember the Lord, which means liberation. One who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, which are accepted as the most suitable boat for crossing the ocean of nations, can achieve liberation as easily as one leaps over the holes made by the hoofs of a calf. Such persons are meant to reside in the abode of the Lord, and they have nothing to do with a place where there is danger in every step. This material world is certified by the Lord in the Bhagavad Gita as a dangerous place full of calamities. Less intelligent persons prepare plans to adjust to those calamities without knowing that the nature of this place is itself full of calamities. They have no information of the abode of the Lord, which is full of bliss and without trace of calamity. The duty of the sane person, therefore, is to be undisturbed by worldly calamities which are sure to happen in all circumstances. Suffering all sorts of unavoidable misfortunes, one should make progress in spiritual realization because that is the mission of human life. The spirit soul is transcendental to all material calamities. Therefore, these so-called calamities are called false. A man may see a tiger swallowing him in a dream, and he may cry for this calamity. Actually, there is no tiger and there is no suffering. It is simply a case of dreams. In the same way, all calamities of life are said to be dreams. If someone is lucky enough to get in contact with the Lord by devotional service, it is all gain. Contact with the Lord by any one of the 9 devotional services is always a forward step on the path going back to Godhead.
cantadas.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha. So, there is no more wonderful verse of the Vedic wisdom than this verse. Why? Because this verse gives the topmost secret of transcendental Krishna consciousness. Why do we take to Krishna consciousness? We take to Krishna consciousness because we want to become free from all suffering conditions. This verse gives the secret of how to become completely free from all suffering conditions. The suffering conditions are still there. But one no longer experiences them personally. Just imagine there's a big hurricane on the surface of the ocean. You do not have hurricanes here in Northern Europe. But in the Gulf of Mexico and in the Atlantic, there's so many big, big hurricanes that come. They're very dangerous, they're very destructive. So, if you are swimming in the ocean, and a hurricane is blowing on the surface of the ocean, then it is a great turbulence in the water. But if you start diving deeply into that ocean, there's less turbulence and less turbulence. The deeper you go into that ocean, the more the influence of the hurricane becomes less prominent. And finally, when you get deep enough in that ocean, all the symptoms of that hurricane are completely, totally conspicuous by their absence. In other words, they are completely non-existent. Does everyone understand the example? Material consciousness means when you're near the surface of the ocean, then you feel all the turbulence very strongly. There are three kinds of turbulence: adiatmic, adibhautik, and adidaivik. So these disturbances, they are pinching. They're pinching us. Again and again and again. They are great disturbances for us. Birth, death, old age and disease. The other day, when you were saying how devotees are afraid of death, you see. Of course, that is neophyte devotee. The advanced devotee is not afraid of death. But that fear of death, that is a miserable condition, you see. To be living in a state of consciousness of in fear of death, that is an unhappy, miserable consciousness to be in. That means you're close to the surface of the ocean where the turbulence is still going on. But if you go deep, 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 deep within the ocean, then all the turbulence is gone. Ariyatmik, Ari Bhautik, Ari Daivik, you see. Janma Mrityu Jaravyadi. All of these miseries become removed from the heart of the devotee who has gone deep into Krishna consciousness. So who is the great guru who is guiding us how to go deep into Krishna consciousness? Queen Kunti is that great teacher who is teaching us how to do that. And what is her secret? Instead of trying to run away from calamities, she's begging for more calamities. Because she sees that when calamities are there, that's when her Krishna consciousness is the most powerful. And that when her Krishna consciousness is powerful, she becomes liberated from birth and death. So, for such a person who is actually begging for calamities, there is no such thing as a calamity. Because everything is a blessing. But what if we're not so advanced as Kunti Devi to pray for calamities? How many here of us would say, "Oh Krishna, please give me calamities"? How many of us could really feelingly pray that way? Most of us wouldn't be in that mood, "Oh Krishna, please put me into difficulty." We already feel that we're having enough difficulties already. So why should I beg for more? I've already got more than I can handle. So why should I ask it for any more difficulties? But even such neophytes as us who would never dream of praying for more difficulties, we also can take advantage of this prayer by Kunti Devi. By whatever calamities are there, taking them as the blessing of Krishna, to help us to take shelter of Him and to become free from our past sinful reactions. So even if we just have this mood of accepting all calamities as the mercy of Krishna, even this much of a of a Kunti-esque attitude, an attitude like Kunti, even this much of an attitude like Kunti, will liberate us from calamities. So how will we develop this consciousness? How will we always see the calamity as a blessing? This verse is our best friend in this connection. If we can simply remember this verse of Kunti Devi, then by her mercy, we will become liberated from all calamities. So if we memorize this verse, Vipada santuta shashvat tatra tatra jagad garo bhavato darshanam yatsyad apunar bhavadarshanam. Simply by remembering this verse, we will become free from all calamities. As Srila Prabhupada nicely explains, they are a dream only, actually. Just like you may be dreaming a tiger is coming to eat you. And you're scared like anything, trying to get away from the tiger. You're trying to run away, but your feet are so heavy you can hardly move. And that tiger is coming in, ready to pounce on you. And then you wake up, oh, thank God it was only a dream. So, when we become fully awakened in Krishna consciousness, we will have a similar experience. Thank God it was only a dream. I was thinking I was a male. I was thinking I was a female. I was thinking Lithuanian, American, Russian. And because of that, I was suffering so many anxieties. But now, by the grace of Sri Guru and Krishna, I am released. So we are very much dependent for this release from calamity on the mercy of Guru and Krishna. Therefore, it is stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Brahmanda Brahmite Konna Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prishade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. That after wandering throughout this universe, one living entity who is very, very fortunate by the combined mercy of Guru and Krishna receives within the heart the seed of bhakti. So how does that bhakti seed enter the heart? Narottam Das Thakura gives that answer. He prays, my only desire is to have my consciousness purified. By the words emanating from the mouth of my spiritual master. So it is a very simple formula. One simply has to take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master. And then from his lotus mouth emanates the seeds of bhakti are emanating from his lotus mouth. I simply have to be a humble listener, you see. When Guru Maharaj is speaking, I simply have to deeply take those sound vibrations into my heart. And in this way, the seed of bhakti becomes firmly planted there.
Ir tokiu būdu bhakti sėkla bus gerai pasėta ten širdyje.
And then one, if one will regularly water that seed of bhakti,
ir po to reikia reguliariai laistyti tą sėklą,
by regularly chanting Maha Mantra,
reguliariai kartuojant Maha Mantra,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And by keeping the heart clean, cleared off of all kinds of weeds,
ir laikant tą savo lauką išravėtą nuo visų rūšių piktžolių,
illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication and gambling,
neleidžiamo sekso, mėsos valgymo, intoksikacijų ir azartinių žaidimų.
If one will do like that, then that seed of bhakti which Guru has planted in your heart,
jeigu elgsimės taip, tai ta sėkla, bhakti sėkla, kurią Guru pasadino jūsų širdyje,
that will take root, become a seedling and gradually become a devotional creeper which will penetrate the coverings of the universe.
Po truputį išleis šaknis, taps daigų ir po to pavirsi vijoklį bhakti, kuris
So how will we successfully get that seed of bhakti planted in our hearts? This is a very important point. How will there be a successful implantation of the seed of bhakti within the heart? From that, for that answer, we can see the example of our wonderful founder Acharya, Srila
Prabhupada.
What was the great qualification of him that was noted by Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur? Do any of you know the story? Do you know the story? No? Yes, I will tell the story. Yes. There was a parikrama in Vrindavan. Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati and his disciples, they were going all over Vrindavan on parikrama. And in the evening time, he would give some pravachan, some talk on Krishna consciousness. How many here have been to Vrindavan? Let's see a show of hands. Anyone has been? You've been to Vrindavan. Yes, you've been. So here in Vilnius, we have nightlife, isn't it? Restaurants, bars, cinemas, strip joints. But what is the nightlife in Vrindavan, you see? It is darshan. In the evening, all the temples, everyone is going for darshan, you see. So that is the nightlife in Vrindavan, darshan time. So, it was the evening time. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakura was giving pravachan. And he speaks in very erudite English. I am a native English speaker. But I can hardly understand what he's talking about. Unless I get a big, big unabridged dictionary. The materialistic deminar cannot possibly stretch to the transcendental autocrat in this way he talks, you see. Very erudite English. So at that time, our Srila Prabhupada, he was not yet initiated. His name was Abhai Charan Day. So that Abhai Charan, he was running a pharmacy business in Allahabad. Day's pharmacy. But he took time off to come to Vrindavan to hear from Guru Maharaj. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami. So, in the evening time, Bhakti Siddhanta is speaking big English words. So all these simple Indian boys, they can't understand what Guru Maharaj is talking about. So they skipped the pravachan, they all went for darshan. But there was only a small handful of disciples left there to hear from Guru Maharaj. Just like I find out in the morning, in the evening there's a big turnout here, but in the morning it's just a small handful. The most dedicated hearers are here in the morning, you see. So it was a very small turnout in the evening lecture there. But there was one hearer who was very dedicated, very dedicated to hear. That was our Abhaycharan day, you see. And we say AC Bhakti Vedanta, that it comes from Abhaycharan. Because when he was initiated, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, he kept the name Abhaycharan, he simply added Aravinda. Abhaycharan Aravinda became his initiated name. So that Abhaycharan, he would simply hear what Guru Maharaj would speak. He said, I would understand or I would not understand. I would understand or I would not understand. But still I would go on hearing. So, shortly after that, just like in ISKCON, we have a system where the local authority will recommend, well, this person is ready for initiation. And they will communicate with the guru, well, I think you should initiate this boy or this girl, they are now ready for initiation. So the devotees in Allahabad, they recommended to Bhakti Siddhanta, this Abhaycharan day, he is a suitable candidate, you should initiate him, Guru Maharaj. So, what did Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur say? He said, yes, I will initiate him because this boy hears very nicely. The others go away, but he stays. So that was his qualification, you see. Whenever Guru Maharaj would speak, he was very eager to hear. And Prabhupada said, because I have heard nicely, now I can speak nicely. So it is by this very eager hearing that the seed of bhakti coming from the lotus mouth of Guru Maharaj can enter into our heart and take root there very solidly. And when that seed of bhakti is there, then we can fully develop this wonderful mood described here by Kunti Devi. And our life will become supremely successful. We will not have to take birth again here in this rotten, horrible place called the material world. Jai. So I thank you very much for listening very nicely. Now I can ask you all, if anyone has some questions, I'll be happy to try to answer them.
Did tinkamai klausytis dvasinio mokymo, kokių reikia savybių.
What qualifications do you need to have to listen properly to realize souls and
yes, mes daug kas iš mūsų klausom, bet nu, nepasinaudojom tą galimybę tinkamai.
Because a lot of us are listening, but not taking this opportunity at full.
Utsahan. That is the greatest qualification. You simply have to be enthusiastic.
Utsaha, jūs paprasčiausiai turite būti entuziastingas, tai svarbiausia savybė.
This like when Prabhupada is there, we were so enthusiastic to hear, sitting at Prabhupada's lotus feet, you know, hearing him speak. It was so enlivening. We just had to be very, very enthusiastic to take deeply, deeply into the heart, you see.
Kol Prabhupada buvo čia, mes buvom tokie entuziastingi, visi klausydomės ir įtemptai.
Of course, the first thing is don't sleep.
Priimti giliai širdį. Iš tikrųjų, pirmas dalykas yra, kad nemiegoti.
Sometimes I feel bad when I'm looking, I look out at all the assembled devotees, I see this devotee, you know, like going like this. That's why sometimes I go do something like this, you know, try to wake them up, you know. The first qualification is wake up. If you're falling asleep, you know, do something. Stand up if you have to, rock back and forth. Somehow stay awake. That's the first qualification. That means you're actually here in the class. You're not off somewhere in the astral plane, you know, floating around somewhere. Then once you're actually here, then you just have to really become very eager to hear. One of my godbrothers, he had a very good technique that someone taught him. It really helped him to focus. He was advised by a godbrother, whenever Prabhupada gives a class, you should always ask a relevant question.
Jam kažkas patarė, kad kai Prabhupada skaito paskaitą, jūs užduokite jam kažkokį gerą klausimą.
So every time he'd hear Prabhupada give a class, he'd be thinking, what would be a very nice question to ask in relationship to this lecture?
And
his thinking like that empowered him to hear very nicely, you see. In those days, the devotees supported the temple by working jobs. So during one class he had to miss it because he was at work. And Prabhupada said, where is that boy who asked the questions? He asked very nice questions.
So
he used this devotee, used this technique to make his hearing very nice and to please Prabhupada also by asking nice questions.
And
this gave him a very solid foundation for spiritual advancement, you see. Do you know who that devotee is? Who used to do like that in the classes? My beloved godbrother, His Holiness Jayapataka Maharaj. So, if you hear very nicely and ask relevant questions, you can become a powerful preacher of this movement. Don't remain a space case. Space case means someone whose mind is bewildered all the time, just kind of floating around, your mind can't focus. Actually, it's stated in the Bhagavad Gita that when Guru is present, the duty is to inquire. When Krishna orders, you inquire, approach Guru and ask questions.
Krishna sako, kad kai Guru yra, jūs turite klausti.
So if one seriously hears, thinking, what would be a relevant question to ask in relationship to this class, that will help one to hear very nicely.
tas nusiteikimas, kad klausantis paskaitos galvoti, koks būtų geras klausimas.
So,
jums padės labai gerai išvystyti.
Now I can ask. So now I can ask if there's any other questions.
Dabar aš noriu paklausti, ar yra dar klausimų?
Kogi reiktų, kad, kad va, na, tas entuziazmas išauktų, kad, kad susirinktų daugiau, kaip sakant, bendruomenės narių, įsikvėptų į rytinės paskaitas.
What do we need that this enthusiasm can grow with more people who come to morning programs and etc.
That's true. That's one way. Increase the numbers. There's two ways that enthusiasm grows. One is by quantity, and the other is by quality. When Narad Muni was enlightening Veda Vyasadeva in the wisdom of the Bhagavatam, we only, from what we have read in the Bhagavatam, it appears there was only two people there for that transmission of transcendental knowledge. There was simply Narad Muni and Veda
Vyas.
So my question is, I have a question for you now. Do you think there was less enthusiasm in that transmission of knowledge from Narad to Vyas than there was when Shukadeva enlightened Parikshit? When Shukadeva Goswami enlightened Parikshit Maharaj, there was a huge assembly of sages, big assembly. Just imagine, from all over the universe they came. Just imagine that for the Bhagavatam class, people came from all over the universe for morning Bhagavatam class. That would be pretty enlivening, wouldn't it? They came from all over the universe to attend the Bhagavatam class, you see. So that was a very enlivening experience, certainly to be there with Shukadeva and Maharaj Pariksit. Just imagine you're sitting there at the assembly, how enlivening that would be. But then consider, would it be any less enlivening when Narad Muni enlightened Vyasadeva?
But klausimas, ar tai nebūtų taip pat įkvepintis, jeigu Narada Munis.
That he must capture the essence by giving Krishna now. He gave all the Vedic wisdom, he was depressed, but now he has to exclusively glorify Krishna. So actually that was equally enlivening. There's a natural tendency, just like myself, when I see a huge temple room full of devotees, it's inspiring and enlivening, there's no doubt. But even if there's a small group, once we get into the nectar of the Bhagavatam philosophy, once we start diving deeper into Bhagavat theology, then actually, whether there's two of us or 2,000 of us, it's the same thing. Of course, we want there to be 2,000. Why not? Why 2,000? We want there to be 2 million people coming for Bhagavatam. We want the whole world to come for Bhagavatam class. That's our program. Our duty is to attract everyone to come. But whoever comes, those persons are those persons sent by Krishna. We should not think, well, you know, I'm not very enlivened because it's only you here. That's Vaishnava Parad. That, you know, there's, you know, I just look out, well, you're not as many people as there were last night, so I'm not giving class today. Every single person who comes is unlimitedly important. In fact, Srila Prabhupada was so enthused that even nobody came, he gave a fired up lecture. Do you know that story? Do you know the introduction to the Bhagavad Gita? You know where that comes from? That was one night when nobody came for class. And Prabhupada gave a lecture into the tape recorder. That is the introduction to the Bhagavad Gita. So Prabhupada, actually Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakura said like that. He said, if nobody comes, you preach to the four walls. Now that is not an excuse to say, well, alright, we won't bother preaching, you know, we won't try to get people to come, so we'll just, you know, we'll just give the class of the four walls. And no, not like that. You try your best to enlighten the whole world. And if even only one person comes, well, that's all right. You give him everything. Because what is that shloka? Ekas Chandra Chanakya Pandit. He said in the Chanakya shloka, Ekas Chandra, one moon can light up the whole sky. What is the use of a million stars? But if there is one moon, it can lighten the whole sky. How many disciples of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur were actually full beaming moons? There was only one. And that's all it took. It only took one disciple who fully inherited the mission of his Guru Maharaj. To carry on the torchlight of transcendental knowledge for the enlightenment of the entire planet Earth. Why only the planet Earth? This movement was spread all over the universe. So whoever is there, the speaker must be enthusiastic. So are there any other questions? Yes, Maharaj.
Не дослышим и не дознаем. Поэтому мы не понимаем лекцию, ну догадываемся что-то, но не понимаем ее. И просидим все время, вот так, просидим.
What to do with this language barrier? Mataji says that we are coming
to... What
to
do with what?
Language barrier.
Yes. She knows Russian, but doesn't understand fully Lithuanian, and always she is sitting in the classes and something she is understanding, something not.
How is your translator? Is he pretty good? You have a Russian translator there?
Я тоже раньше ходила каждый день, А теперь, думаю, лучше дома послушаю наушники, потому что, ну, не слышим, не понимаем. Отсидим и пойдем. Или это можно так делать? Хорошо так или нет?
Many devotees who speak on only Russian, they are not coming to the temple now because they don't understand lectures. And they are listening to the lectures at home on tape recorder.
What you can do is what they do in Bombay. They have a very nice system in Bombay. Because the classes are given in English. But some of the brahmacharis, they only understand Hindi.
So
what they do is they have the little headsets, you know. They'll have one very qualified Hindi translator. He speaks, they hear it all in the headsets. So you could do like that. You have special headsets for all the Ruskis. Russian speaking, you see. And you get a very qualified Russian translator. That's one solution, you see. But on the other hand, even if you don't understand a word of it, Manaji, the transcendental power of the sound vibration will still purify your heart. Srila Prabhupada told us it does not require any particular language to understand thunder. Just like if a little baby comes to Bhagavatam class, who doesn't understand a word of the language, just by being there in the room where the vibration of Bhagavatam is going on, you'll become a pure devotee. So please, I beg you, always come to the classes. Even if you cannot understand everything, you will receive immense transcendental benefit. Why is that? Because every syllable of Bhagavatam is Krishna. Whether it's English Krishna, Lithuanian Krishna, or Russian Krishna. Krishna is Krishna.
Krishna is Krishna.
And he appears in this Shabda Brahma. And he will enter deeply into your heart. And pull you out of this material existence. If you faithfully follow the injunction of the Bhagavatam, Nashta prayeshva badreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavat yuttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. If you will follow this instruction to regularly hear the classes on Bhagavatam, and to also serve the spiritual master, who is the person Bhagavatam, then all that is inauspicious within your heart, it will become destroyed almost to nil. And thus, loving service to that beautiful transcendental Lord will become established in your heart as an irrevocable fact. So Prabhupada says, simply go on hearing, and all of your problems will be solved. Thank you. Any other questions?
Я, может быть, еще и не кончила я этот вопрос.
Матаджи, я не finished this question. She hasn't finished this question.
All right, continue asking.
Иногда сидим, полно преданных, полный зал. Но никому дела нету до этих, которые не слышат, глухие, больные. Никому никто не ищем неквалифицированных. Кто-то переведет, но все отказываются. Большинство тяжело, не хочет переводить.
She's saying that sometimes a lot of devotees, but nobody wants to translate to them.
How many see? Well, you have to beg their mercy.
Вам надо просить их милости.
You fall at their feet and beg them.
Просто припадать им стопам, к их стопам и просить их.
Homo persuasion is the best sales tool.
Это лучший способ.
Humbly fall at their feet and beg them, Prabhu, Prabhu, please save me from this material existence. Please translate for me, save me from Maya. I am drowning in a whirlpool of Maya. Please save me by giving me Russian translation of the class.
Переведите на русский этот лекцию.
Мы так и делаем, так и делаем. Но вот были с Висагинаса теперь приехали. Они сказали, больше мы сюда не приедем. В Каунасе, ну, переводит кто-то и там на русский. А здесь, ну, никто не... Ну, просили, никто не пришел переводить.
Матер же сказал, but it's the same thing, but there's some devotees from Visaginas, is the town where
devotees, town?
Visaginas. They all speak in Russian. They came here but was very upset that nobody translated to Russian.
Yeah, so have to humbly beg those who are learned in Russian and Lithuanian to do the translation. That's all. You have to humbly beg.
Надо просто смиренно попросить, кто может перевести на русский.
If you can humbly beg here to find such translator, then when the Sagana devotees come, they will be very happy. They'll say, Madhaji has saved us. Now we can hear Russian in Vilnius because Madhaji have made arrangement. So all the Visagana devotees will all be very be very appreciative of you if you can arrange him. So anyone else have a question? Suggestion from Manaji, okay.
In Vrindavan they have two classes. One for English speaking and one for Hindi speaking.
That's another solution. Have a Russian only Bhagavatam class in the other room. In Riga, they have Russian in the morning and Latvian in the evening. Now everybody learns Latvian and Russian both. All the Latvian people get exposed to Russian and the Russian get exposed to Latvian. So any other questions?
What is the difference when somebody listens to Bhagavatam lecture in the home, just from the deep, and when he comes here
Yeah. What is the difference between hearing the tape and hearing the class? The difference is one. There's one very big difference, and that is sangha. The fact is, the more that we come together as a group, there is more shakti. Do you, in Russian and in Lithuanian, is there a synonym for the English word synergy? Do you know that word synergy? A group multiplies. In other words, you have, let's say you have 10 units of shakti and I have 10 units of shakti. So that's a total of 20 units of shakti. But if we work together, it becomes 100 units of shakti. That is called synergy. And if the third person with his 10 units comes in, then it becomes 1,000 units. And a fourth person comes in with his 10 units, it becomes 10,000 units. If we were alone, it would just be 40 units. When we come together, it's 10,000 units of energy. That's called synergy. So we bring all these devotees together, the men, the women, we come all together like this, you see, in one assembly. Then everybody brings their own personal energy into the assembly. And it becomes magnified thousands and millions of times. So if hearing a tape is the only option, then that is good. But it is thousands and millions of times better to come together in Sangha. That is a fact. So, I know because every day I'm writing I do some writing, and I was never inspired to write on my own, just for myself. But now I have 6,000 people signed up for my e-course. And every day I write for 6,000 people. So that inspires me to put more energy into it. And that does remind me, is anybody who speaks English, who reads English here? Say 1, 2, 3. Right. They should, here, give them the cards. You all can sign up for my e-course, and then every day you will get my daily meditation in your email box. And how many speak Russian here? Russian language. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. For Russian, you go to, it's nazaddomai.com. Yeah. You can sign up in Russian also. But I think the English one has is HTML with all the photographs and everything. It's the Russian is just text only. So. But they're both transcendental. So that will also, if the more people are signed up here, I'll be more inspired to come here and preach also. If people are getting my emails, they're writing me saying, you know, if there are questions, If people are corresponding with me for here from Vilnius, I'll be more inspired to spend more time here. So you all who have gotten the card, you should sign up and you should write me with your questions also. I'm very happy to give personal guidance to everyone. You have any personal questions, I can give you a personal answers to help you in your progress. This is called synergy. The more that we come together to hear and chant about Krishna, the more we become inspired. It becomes a movement. You see? You know, millions of people all over the face of the planet. It's so exciting to go traveling all over the world. I'm part of a big movement. I go to this country, I go to that country, and wherever I go, the devotees are there at the airport to pick me up. It's just amazing. I can just circle the globe, and everywhere the devotees are there, and there's programs going on. It's so enlivening. So the more we can be together, that gives us, that's where we get more and more nectar. So when we're not together physically, we must always be together spiritually. There was one devotee, his name was Shivananda Sen Das. He is the early pioneer of preaching in Europe. He was the only devotee on the European mainland. One young American brahmachari, all alone in the European mainland, with no association at all, preaching in Germany, in Berlin, West Berlin. So Prabhupada wrote him a letter. He said, if you will simply remember my humble teachings, then you will have my association and that of your God brothers also. So even by meditation, we can all be together as a spiritual family. So even if you have to be hearing the Bhagavatam class alone, by remembering all the devotees, you can feel extra strength. So now I can ask for one last question before we hit the road. For Kelme. Heading out to Kelme now and then on to Riga and then to Belgium and America. Here's a question.
She is not very old devotee.
Okay.
When she chants names, she says that sometimes it is very sweet and sometimes it is hurting.
It's what? It's sometimes sweet and sometimes
hurting.
Hurts the heart. Sometimes it's painful. The names are sometimes sweet and they're sometimes painful. Yes. That is natural for a neophyte. That sometimes the name is like bitter poison. Prabhupada gives an example in this connection. In India there's a disease which is a common disease called jaundice. Jaundice.
It's a disease of the liver. And when you're suffering from jaundice, sugar candy tastes horribly bitter. But sugar candy is the medicine that cures jaundice. So when you go to the doctor, he'll say, "My dear patient, I know you don't want to do this, but you have to take sugar candy every day." So the patient will put it in the mouth and it tastes so horrible, he just wants to spit it out. But because the doctor has informed him, you must do this, it's the only way to become cured. Therefore, he takes the sugar candy. And you know what happens? Slowly, 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 it starts to taste not quite so bitter. A little less bitter. A little less bitter. And then it starts to taste a little bit sweet. And then sweeter and sweeter, and it tastes great again. That means you're cured. So right now, you are in a diseased state. Your heart has been invaded by six enemies. They have conquered your heart. Do you know what are those six enemies? Lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and envy. Kama, krodha, loba, moha, madha, matsarya. These enemies have taken over your heart. Therefore, the holy mane tastes like bitter poison sometimes. So the key is, the spiritual master has ordered you, you must chant every day. The spiritual master is your physician, he's your doctor. He's given you this prescription, 16 rounds of japa every day. So even though it sometimes is like the most bitter poison, if you will do it on the order of the spiritual master, then what will happen is it will start to become sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. And the full brilliant sun of the pure name of Krishna will gradually arise within your heart. And you'll become a completely 100% pure devotee of the Lord. So when the spiritual master blesses you with the order to chant, you must not be angry at the spiritual master that why he has given me this bitter poison. You must understand from the Vedic scriptures that the spiritual master has given you the supreme blessing, and you must chant every day faithfully the japa. And in this way, you will come out of the illusion of material existence. And you will regain your original, eternal identity in the pastimes of Krishna. So it's worth it. The austerity of chanting, when it's painful, is worth it. So I don't care how painful it gets, you must chant every day. How many rounds do you chant now every day? Do you have a set number? Are you chanting japa now? How many rounds do you chant usually every day? One.
16 rounds, but usually she tries more than
16. Oh, okay. So you are chanting 16 every day. All right. So you maintain that steadily and keep trying to increase the quality. Don't ever miss 16 rounds. And if somehow under the circumstances you miss, then you must make them up the next day. Do you agree? Okay. Right. Do you like that? That's all right. This way you'll become qualified for initiation. The temple authorities want to see if you're steady in your japa. Then they can initiate you for it. They can recommend you for initiation when they see that you're steady in your japa. That is the system. You have to show that you're qualified to be an initiated disciple. You have to act like an initiated disciple by being steady in your chanting. And then when your authorities see that this girl is she's solid like an initiated disciple, then they recommend you for initiation. And then when you're initiated, Prabhupada says you will achieve deathlessness. So, any other questions?
Then you will come back.
Ah. Well, we've made a tentative schedule for October. I think it's something like October 16th. I'm not sure exactly. But as I mentioned earlier, if the more that I see interest here in Vilnius, then I'll be inspired to spend more time here, or less time if there's less interest. The more I see that you're eager to hear my preaching, the more inspired I am to come here. So the way to capture me is by enthusiastic hearing. If you like having me around, then come to hear as much as you can. And as deeply as you can. So we thank you very much. You have some point? Oh yes, any other? I gave out a few already. You have, you English, read English?
Yes.
Okay, here, give him a card also. Anybody who didn't get a card who wants one? All right. Everybody said, okay, and all the rush, all the, for all the risky. Huh?
For friends in Shaolet, he will bring this card for the friends in Shaolet.
Yeah, yeah. If you have a friend you want to give a card to, I can have extra. Actually, I've just run out of cards now, and I have to go back to America for more cards. That's how I know when I have to go back to America. I pack as many as I can into my suitcase. When I run out, then I have to go back to America to stock up. So I have a huge box of them in America. So. So we thank you all very much for so nicely receiving us here in Vilnius, Lithuania. Kindly work together very nicely to serve Prabhupada's mission under the guidance of the senior devotees here. And I can assure you your life will be a grand success.
Ir garantuoju, kad jūsų gyvenimas baigsis sėkmingai.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Grantharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai,
Lord
Nityananda Maharaj ki jai, Iskan, Vilnius, Lithuania devotees ki jai.